present Janet Brown, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
So Janet's going to do battle with Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud and Peter Jones and try and talk, as the others will, for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition and without deviating from the subject on the card. So let us start the programme this week with Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, as you're in such ebullient mood, will you take the subject of me and talk on it for just a minute, starting now?
Well, this covers a multitude of syntheses, or synthetics, which is, of course, goodbye in any language, and I rise in the early morn and don the raincoat, which is called raglan, and I think immediately of that great commander in the Crimea, whose memory is never far from my thoughts, and then my wee cap on my head, and I'm off, and my walk has been immortalized in those famous words: he goes down the Strand with his glove in his hand and comes back again with it off. And everyone knows me from Cliff and Lord Rosebery.
Clement Freud. Clement Freud has challenged you.
What have you challenged me about, Clement?
There were two offs.
Yes. You repetition. Went off, and yes. You said off twice, so that was repetition.
Well, I think he's just trying a game when the time's almost up. Do you know what I mean? After I've flogged myself to death. I think he's just trying to get in on that little moment, don't you?
No, you've only gone for two-thirds of a minute. Clement, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject of me, and there are 20 seconds left, starting now.
Given a free choice between do, re, fa, sol, la, ti, I would choose me every time, specifically because I can't tell me from us, and often confuse it with them, especially on a Sunday afternoon in autumn, because when the sun shines and the moon is waiting to come on cue.
Well, Clement Freud, using great devious verbal skill, kept going until the whistle went, which tells us the 60 seconds is up, and as you know, whoever speaks then gets the extra point. It was Clement Freud, who is the only one to score at the end of that round. Janet Brown, will you take the second round? And the subject that Ian Messiter's thought up is elastic. So will you talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
Knickers. I feel that this is a subject very close to my heart, and probably to all the women in the audience, and particularly to them that are listening to me at this very moment. Because I feel that this particular thing that has happened...
Kenneth Williams, a chap.
Deviation, she said it's close to her heart. If Nicholas... if Nicholas are close to her heart, she's wearing her corsets round her ankles, I think.
I think that's a lovely challenge, and it's only right that we should give him a point and the subject. Yes.
Why does he wear knickers?
Elastic garters, I believe, but we'll soon hear about it. There are 44 seconds left, Kenneth, and the subject's elastic, starting now.
Elastic is something which should be avoided by anyone that wants a healthy constitution, because it definitely interferes with the circulation of the blood, and that's the most worst thing you could do. I mean, always be free, feel free, throw yourself out, let it all hang out.
Janet Brown has come.
He repeated himself.
Yes, he did. Free, feel free. Free, yes. He was too free there. So, Janet, you've got in very rapidly again, a correct challenge, and there are 34 seconds left. Elastic, starting now.
I remember one occasion in the theatre when I had to appear at a matinee performance. It was a particular occasion when...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition in particular.
Yes. I'm afraid you were too particular, Janet, and 27 seconds are left, and Peter Jones has got in, and the subject's elastic, starting now.
Pants, girdles, bras, braces, suspenders. There must be a lot of people who would just enjoy me repeating those words on the radio indefinitely, but I'm not allowed to do
Kenneth,
that in this
I'm
game.
I'm sorry, Peter. Kenneth Williams has challenged you.
What about?
Deviation. You're enlisting a load of subjects, dear, but the subject is elastic. It's not those subjects, you see, so I'm afraid you're deviating.
Elastic?
I'm sorry.
Elastic is woven into all those garments.
How do you know?
Because I've studied the catalogues.
You see how much of their true life comes out in this game. Peter, I disagree with Kenneth's challenge. You have, as you said so aptly, it is woven into them, and you weren't deviating, and you have 20 seconds left, having gained a point for a wrong challenge, to continue on Elastic, starting now.
But the most fun I ever got out of Elastic was when I bought a yard of thick rubber elastic, and I got a piece of wood that was Y-shaped, and I fastened one end of each piece of elastic to it, and then to the other ends...
Clement Freud...
Two ends.
One end and the other end. One end to each of the pieces of wood and then the other ends. You see.
You're wriggling and I'm not going to allow it. Clement, you
I
have
don't know
a
why subject. I'm excluded from wriggling. Everybody else is allowed.
6 seconds are left, Clement. Elastic starting now.
In the lonely summer evenings, I like to look at my sweatband.
Well, once again, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. He gained the extra point, but on the round of elastic, they all gained some points, and the situation is Clement Freud followed by Peter Jones and then Janet Brown and Kenneth Williams equal. And Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? The subject, giraffes. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
They're really delightful creatures, designed by nature to eat from trees. That's why they've got such long necks. They're brown and cream, and just a few hundred yards from where I live, there is a giraffe house in Regent's Park. And there you can see their heads peeping out of the upper floor, which is specially constructed to house them. And they have a marvelous time there. They are thrown these bits of leaf and twig, fruit and whatnot. And are you doing something distracting you?
What? Keep going, yes.
Well, they're very difficult to photograph, giraffes, because if you're in an aeroplane, the head is much nearer than the rest of the giraffe, so a lot of it is out of focus, inevitably, because you can't... And then if you're on a level with the giraffe, it's often moving so fast that it's extremely difficult to get it...
Janet Brown has...
He repeated the word difficult.
It's damn difficult not to.
Yes, I think I did.
I think you did. But I'm afraid Janet got in with a repetition with 6 seconds to go, and the subject's giraffes. Janet, starting now.
I always feel extremely sorry for the giraffe. It is a very beautiful creature. But just think for a moment what must happen when this...
Think for a moment, what happens what? When?
Well, when it starts to eat, I mean, it must be cold by the time it gets down to where it's going to be.
And eating isn't the only problem. I'm surprised there are so many giraffes about.
That is one of those thoughts that's slowly running around the audience. Clement, we're with you to begin. The subject is argument, something we never have in this program, I'm sure. Will you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
An argument is normally a verbal battle between two people, but if you buy cheap books of poetry, they also tend to have the word argument, meaning nothing much more difficult than a précis of the verse which they're about to expound, so that in the margin, either on the left or the right of the page, which could be vellum, paper, or whatever else, you see in print, which tends to be Gothic, but could be italic...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I think he repeated tends.
Tends?
Tends. I thought he said tens at the beginning. He said it tends to have...
Tens! O-S-T-N-D-S. Yes, I thought it was T-E-N-S. Yes. I thought there was numbers. I'm sorry, yes, sir, Peter. Tens. Yes, he did repeat tens, and there are 33 seconds. left.
How long did you say?
33 seconds.
33 seconds.
The subject is argument, and you start now.
Nothing really more stimulating to the intellectual mind, highly developed academic, than a really high-pitched argument with emotion running very high and with this...
Clement Freud.
Two highs.
Yes.
Or is he back on the giraffes?
there are 23 seconds, Clement, on argument starting now.
Yes, I did go down to the shops in order to purchase a bath bun. No, you did not. You proceeded to the store.
Peter Jones, a chance.
Hesitation.
I would agree with that. And 14 seconds are left for argument, Peter, starting
my
now.
My heart
and
wasn't
it might. What was that?
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes. As that was one-upmanship of the most devious kind...
Good it was. He was muttering while I was speaking.
Yes, I know. It could put you off completely. I won't charge any points for that, Peter.
What?
I won't charge anything. You put him off. Rotten. Rotten way you did.
Well, that's never been done before, has it?
No, but it... We enjoyed it, but I'm not going to give any points for it. So there are 11 seconds for Peter. Continue with argument starting now.
Yes, you did buy a bath bun. Oh, no, I didn't, because I wasn't there and didn't have a penny. With the result that the child goes back...
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
Bath buns don't cost a penny.
But they used
to. Nothing costs a penny anymore.
They used to, you see.
Hardly anything you can do for a penny.
No. Of course, that is the point. I mean, they did at one time cost a penny, and...
Oh, he was talking in the past, was he?
Well, he can talk in the past, the present, or the future in just a minute. Oh. It doesn't really matter.
Interesting.
So, I don't think he was deviating from the subject of argument. Whether the bath bun was a penny or not, it's deviation from the subject, and he wasn't deviating in that case. So there are 2 seconds left, Peter, on argument starting now.
50 years from now, Daddy, this bath bun...
So Peter Jones kept going well in that round, and also was speaking as the whistle went. He gained a number of points, and he's taken the lead now, one ahead of Clement Freud. Kenneth Williams, back with you to start. And the subject we have this week for you is Ivan the Terrible. So will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Well, in the books they do list 4 great Ivans, and I suppose Ivan the Terrible does come in for a considerable amount of notoriety, because though the others were really dukes, he was the first to call himself Tsar of all the Russias, and flew into that appalling great rages, and massacred loads of boyars, and took over Astrakhan and Siberia. In one of these appalling moods, he actually slew his own son, and 'tis said, lackaday and rue, that he died regretting it. Parallel, of course, to him was our own...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of course. A small thing, but...
Small thing, and he was going so well, and we were finding such interest. But still, that was a correct challenge, and no doubt Kenneth will recover from the disappointment in time. And there are 16 seconds for you, Clement. So, 16 seconds, Clement, on Ivan the Terrible, starting now.
Ivan the Terrible was one of the 2 films the local cinema in Totnes bought outright when I was at school in those parts. The other one being Oh, What a Lovely Day with Jesse Matthews, so one easily could tell one from the other.
So, Clement Freud has regained the lead at the end of that round, and Janet Brown, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is How I Enjoy Myself. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I find this a very difficult question to answer because I find... Ooh, am I... Don't get it.
Oh, you shouldn't have drawn attention to it. But Kenneth Williams decided to challenge. Chenish, what's your rotten challenge?
What on earth is happening to your diction? You call me Chenish. You had a few.
What?
You had a few.
I'm just a bit tired.
I see. Age catches up with us all.
I know it does.
It's very good of you to come here.
Yeah.
Kenneth.
Yes, I challenged because I thought there was a hint of the wee hesitation there, did you not think?
There was more than the hint of the wee hesitation. There was a very positive hesitation. And the wee hen on my left has lost the subject, and you've gained it, love. And... You've got 54 seconds to tell us about how I enjoy myself starting now.
Well, of course, it's delightful to have the lemon cordial and the fags on the terrace. Really quite ritzy with playing, say, in the background, a little Chopin, or even a touch of the Manhattan with the old Cole Porter discs going on the 78s. Slight hiss, but adds almost a feeling of period charm, and one envisages those large bonnets and huge great chromium lamps on the early models like Vanderbilt and Parker and Desjouvet and DuPont. All nostalgically, romantically delightful. And I sit there with a bag of peanuts and think, oh, how beautifully...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Repetition of O.
I call that a rotten mean challenge, and I won't allow it.
Well, I felt he had to be stopped somehow or other.
It was all so delightfully, romantically nonsense that I'm going to let you continue, Kenneth, for 9 seconds, how I enjoy myself starting now.
And another way is to get the knee rug tightly wrapped around me, and then a favourite book produced from the nearby shelf, perhaps given...
So Kenneth Williams did very well in that round, and he gained the extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now in third place. One ahead of Janet Brown, and quite a few behind Peter Jones, who's still one behind our leader, Clement Freud. And it's his turn to begin the next round. Clement, the subject is the most amazing thing I know. So will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The most amazing thing I know is that this is Send a Sick Bison to a Junior Minister Week. And judging from the reaction of the people in this audience, it is also the most amazing thing that they know, or possibly didn't, because there was a look of complete amazement on the faces, especially of the lady who's asleep in the fifth row. This sort of information is readily...
I beg your pardon, it was an inadvertent. It was inadvertent, I'm sorry, inadvertent.
Inadvertent.
It was inadvertent. I'm awfully sorry.
He gets a point.
Well, how many times do I have to apologize?
I just would like to know what was inadvertent. The buzz or...
Yes, the buzz.
Oh, well, the buzz was. Well, in that case, it's a point to Clement Freud.
Yes, I.
And he continues with 37 seconds on the most amazing thing I know, starting now.
Pi equals 9.8654931. That is an absolutely astonishing thing, because the figure normally is 22 over 7. Totally.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation, yes. Right, there are 23 seconds left for the most amazing thing I know. Who challenged?
I did.
Good, well done, Peter. You got a point there. The most amazing thing I know, 23 seconds starting now.
The most amazing thing I know is that this self-styled sports reporter should make this announcement about Bison Week, when in fact he challenged me on a point of the,
Oh dear, Janet Brown is challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation on the, and there are 10 seconds left, Janet, for the most amazing thing I know, starting now.
The most amazing thing I know is the sight of a snowdrop pushing its way through the concrete in the absolute cold of winter and appearing there as if it is some extremely strong force.
Well, Janet Snowdrop kept her going till the whistle went, and she gained an extra point. She's back in third place, and Peter Jones is still chasing our leader, Clement Freud. And Kenneth Williams, we're going to hear from you again. The subject is the missing link. The audience obviously think it's you, but will you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
The missing link in my case was one of a beautiful pair of cufflinks given to me by an elderly acquaintance, and he assured me they were part of an heirloom, and one indeed went astray, and consequently my cuff looked appalling, just flapping about at this rather formal do to which I'd been invited to make the speech. Oh, they said, "What you doing with no cufflink?" I said, "Ah, you might well ask," and I should have been challenged since I said it before. But I don't care. I'll just now.
Peter Jones has done you the honour.
Oh, has he?
Yes.
Oh, awoken up, have you? Oh. Get in a glass of water. Help him out.
He was being very generous. Peter, your challenge.
Yes, because I did. I challenged because he said I should have been challenged, and I wouldn't like him to think that I wouldn't be prepared
so
to challenge him.
So what were you challenging for?
Well, what does he want? What would you like me to challenge?
So what was the challenge, Peter?
Well, I don't know. I'm prepared to make any challenge he likes.
No, you don't.
Can't say
that's
fairer
right.
than that.
You did what Kenneth wanted, and what is actually has come back in Kenneth's favour, because he gets a point.
Well, then I challenge him on deviation, because he shouldn't invite me to challenge and then not tell me what he wants me to challenge about.
Well, that's a very clever and ingenious idea, but actually he repeated the word cuff, and that's what he thought you might have challenged on. But you didn't. You challenged on deviation. So, Kenneth, you get a point, because it was a wrong challenge. There are 21 seconds left. The missing link, starting now.
The untidiness of my apparel, because of the aforesaid missing link, incited various comments, and I myself remembered the great quotation from Mr. Grossmith's book, Diary of a Nobody, and said, "I'm afraid my cuffs are rather frayed."
Kenneth.
Yes.
I'm glad you enjoyed that more than the audience, but... But Clement Freud did challenge before you got to the payoff.
Oh, what was you on about, love?
A repetition of cuff.
Of what,
Another repetition of cuff.
Oh, yes, he did say cuff again, that's right. There are 4 seconds, Clement, on the missing link starting now.
In detective fiction, the missing link tends to be a clue.
Well, once again, Clement Freud got in just before the whistle and gained an extra 2 points, of course, and one for speaking when the whistle went, and has increased his lead. Janet Brown, will you begin the next round? The subject is doing people. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
To some people, this expression might mean taking advantage. But in my case, it is a means of watching, observing, analysing, and hoping that I can keep in a little mental file something of the person's qualities while I watch them. Now, in the case of a person, for example, like Katharine Hepburn, who, as you well remember, has this strong jawline and is terribly, terribly pleased to be here, on the other hand, it may be somebody quite different. I do well remember when I watched Margaret Thatcher being absolutely fascinated in the way that she spoke, with her eyebrows looking straight out and her eyes directly underneath. I really felt she was about to say something quite marvellous, and instead it was dreadfully flat. Now, you see, that sort of thing is the kind of thing that I particularly enjoy watching. Of course, there are other people, as I say, like Hilda Baker, Cilla Black. Some of these characters I find extremely funny. Penelope Keith, with her, "Hello, Tom. Hello, Barbara." I think that's a very charming way to behave. And, of course, that's the sort of thing I particularly like and enjoy watching.
Well, I've just had a whisper from Ian Messenger telling me that he forgot to stop his watch, so she actually did 1 minute 10 seconds without being interrupted. So, but she was on her own subject of impersonation, so we enjoyed it so much that we let her go and let her rip, and what a joy it was. And I think we've got double value, playing the game and impersonations. Well done, Janet. And you get... You get 2 points, of course, one for not being interrupted as well as one for speaking when the whistle went. Peter Jones, the next round is for you to start, and it is When I Sat Down at the Piano. It's a lovely thought. Will you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
When I sat down at the piano, it was explained to me that I was tone deaf, and then I was asked to sit in a corner and read a book, because it was absolutely hopeless to either sing or attempt to play. So, from...
Janet Brown.
He repeated the word play.
You think I did, yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's very honest of you, Peter.
Well, I don't
there
know.
Are 45 seconds, Janet, for you to tell us about when I sat down at the piano, starting now.
Well, now that I've been asked, I wish I had never pressed the buzzer, because I know very little about having a stool removed from the piano, and I only feel that if I'd been able, at an early age, to receive the instruction that my music teacher gave to me, I probably would, at this time, be in the capacity, or in the position...
Clement Freud.
It was a hesitation.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was a stumbling hesitation. And there are 28 seconds left for when I sat down at the piano, Clement, starting now.
When I sat down at the piano, realizing that I was unable to play the instrument, I got a tablecloth, a knife, fork, spoon, and had a marvelous meal, beginning with a lentil soup served with wine.
Kenneth Williams, good job.
It sounded like hesitation.
Well, I think so too, Kenneth. So it's the last round. Let's hear from you as well on the subject. With 14 seconds to go, when I sat down at the piano.
When I sat down at the piano is an occasion I will never forget, because it was in a vicarage and I was invited along there to do a little turn chopsticks. It was, and I broke wind, and there was the most and they said, leave the room for goodness sake, and the confusion was appalling.
Leave the room, for goodness sake. Let's leave the show on what a note as well. What note did you hit, by the way?
Perfectly reasonable, you know. These things are part of nature.
I was asking a perfectly valid question.
You behave as though you live on another planet sometimes.
I'm going to give you the final score because we have no more time. And Kenneth brought the show to an end with a ripe raspberry. And I will tell you that in doing so, he got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And he came equal in third place with our guest this week, Janet Brown. But they were only 2 points behind Peter Jones, who didn't make up his early challenge to Clement Freud, who finished 6 points ahead. Our winner this week, Clement Freud. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when four of us take to the air with me and we all play Just a Minute. Until then, is that right? Four of us take to the air? No, I'll say that again. We do hope that you've enjoyed Just a Minute and want to tune in again at the same time next week when five of us take to the air, four to play the game, and me to try and keep fair play, if I can, in Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.